And we are very privileged to have with us our national representative this year, Everett Bacon. Of course, I'll give a more detailed introduction this evening, but Everett was with us yesterday, was in a lot of the division meetings, and appreciate his help and his talking what he had to say yesterday afternoon. Everett is the president of our Utah affiliate, and I was kind of mean to Everett. I made him get up early to do this report at 7:30 in the morning, Utah time, but I know he's up to the task. So at this time, I will turn the agenda over to Everett Bacon.
Well, I hope that wasn't a Zoom bomb.
No, it was not, sir.
Oh, well, thank you, everyone, for that. I don't think I've ever had an introduction like that before, so pretty funny. I'll have to get that for my own folks. They probably like that. It's a pleasure to be with you. I wish we were in person. We all wish we were in person, but it's still really neat to think that they're are well over 100 Federationists on the line together on this wonderful Saturday morning. As Frank said, yes, I am speaking to you from Salt Lake City, Utah. So I am in my basement. Some people might refer to it as a man cave. I think it's more of a couple's cave. My wife and I, we don't have any children. We have three dogs, though, so we kind of consider those our children. And in this basement, she has a 60-inch television screen that she's very proud of. I have a Polk surround sound system that I am very proud of. So we love being down here. We have a great time watching movies or doing whatever things that you know, couples do in their caves. So just to kind of give you a little bit of background, behind me is a painting. It's got four different panels to it. The four panels are different shades of blues and greens. It's more of an abstract type of painting. But what's really significant is it has very large circles that represents Braille. It is a tactile painting. It spells out the word hope in Braille, and that's behind us here in my couch and on the wall. I'm also a big sports fan, so I know President Rick Abono definitely talks about my love and his love of baseball, and we have a great time talking about baseball and going to baseball games when we can. And so one of the things that's in my basement on my wall, you can't see it, but I'll tell you a little bit about it, is a wooden replica of a home plate. And it's hanging up on the wall, but in each slot, you can have a baseball. And so I have several autographed baseballs there that I've collected over the years. Nolan Ryan, Hank Aaron, Rod Carew, Mike Trout, because I'm a big Angels fan, so Mike Trout is my favorite current player. Brian Downing, Bobby Grich was my favorite player growing up. So I kind of pay attention to a lot of baseball, and I have a lot of autographed baseballs that I'm very proud of that I've collected over the years. I'm also a big Dallas Cowboys fan, so also on the wall. I lived in California when I grew up, and we moved to Texas when I was a teenager. And so I really never got into football until I got to Texas, because if you don't live in Texas and you're not into football, well, you really don't live in Texas. So we really got into football in Texas and became a big fan of the Dallas Cowboys. And The Irving Stadium that is no longer standing, they allowed fans to come and get some of the different seats and all kinds of things at the stadium. So I was able to get the back of one of the seats at Irving Stadium, and I got it signed by a bunch of Dallas Cowboys. Leon Lett has signed it. Darren Woodson, who's a Hall of Famer, has signed it, and a bunch of others. So that's kind of a little bit about my basement, and to tell you a little bit about me. Yeah, I like sports, and I like all kinds of things. So, but it's a pleasure to be here in speaking to you in the great state of South Carolina. I was telling folks yesterday that I always like to study a little bit about a state and learn some different fun facts. I learned yesterday that it's kind of funny. Georgia calls itself the Peach State, but South Carolina produces way more peaches than the state of Georgia. So take that, Georgia. So that's something for all you all to be proud of. I told some other folks last night on the board meeting that Summervale, South Carolina is the home of sweet tea. So it is where the first time a sweet tea was discovered or ever first introduced. So pretty interesting facts. There's a lot more things about South Carolina, the Palmetto State, that I've learned about. And I really wish I was there to be there. Charleston, South Carolina would have been a wonderful place to spend some time. I have never been to South Carolina. My wife and I are saying we're putting that on our list of places we're going to visit now because we would have been there at this weekend. So we'll find a way to get back there, and hopefully I'll get to spend some time with some of you. I've gotten to know Frank a little bit as in preparations for this convention. Frank is a wonderful man, a wonderful president, and it's been a pleasure to work with him. I've been an admirer of Steve Cook. I do assistive technology for the Division of Services for the Blind here in Utah, and I'm over all of our assistive technology in our program, as well as our low vision department. And Steve Cook's been a guy who I've admired because of his great knowledge of technology, and so it's nice to get to spend some time with him as well. Parnell Diggs goes back a long way. We've been very good friends, spent a lot of time at the Jernigan Institute and the National Center. Parnell's a wonderful man who I admire greatly. I even contributed to his campaign. So he's a great man, a great friend, and I'm glad to see him back where he belongs in South Carolina. I know how much he loves his home state. So I never got the opportunity to get to know Don Capps. I did meet him once at a national convention and shook his hand, was introduced to him. I would have loved to have gotten to know him. I've read some of his Braille Monitor articles and read about some of the wonderful things he's done in South Carolina and for blind people across the country. And so it's wonderful to be here. I forgot to mention that I actually did a leadership seminar with one of your South Carolinians. That would be Jennifer Baser. I got to do leadership seminar with her. We had a great time, and it was fun to spend time with her and get to know her and see some of the things. That was right before she had really started the successful transition group that is going so well in South Carolina. That was just at the start of it. So, and it's pretty fun. Your former commissioner or maybe assistant commissioner at the South Carolina Commission for the Blind, his name was Kyle Walker. He was a good friend of mine as well. He actually came from Utah. And he was over me. We used to go together to visit clients. And so I remember Kyle. I know he's moved on to different things, but I have some ties to South Carolina in those type of ways that I thought I'd mention to you. As again, President Riccobono sends his love, wishes he was here with all of you. I do have a feeling he'll be popping in and out of this convention at different times. You may not know it. He may hide his phone. I don't know. But he will be in and out. He loves to get to see some of the conventions and see what's going on across the country in the different affiliates. So watch out for that. He wishes he would have been at this convention. He wishes he could be at all the conventions, but unfortunately that's really difficult. And I'm kind of glad he doesn't go to all the conventions, because that means I get these opportunities, and it's probably the most rewarding part of being a national board member is getting the opportunity to go to all of the different affiliates as a national representative, and get to know members from across the country, all doing great things, different ideas, and changing what it means to be blind and living the lives they want. That is probably the most rewarding part of being a national representative. And so I'm glad I get that opportunity. I'm grateful to him. You know, it's funny. I turned 50 this year. My wife says, don't tell people my age, but you know, oh well. But I turned 50 this year, and I got a smoker. Had never done smoking of meat before, and really wanted to try it. So I got a smoker for my birthday. And I knew President Rick Abono was very fond of grilling meat through using a smoker. And so we've been comparing notes, and we've decided that when we both retire and we move on, we're going to start our own restaurant, and we're going to call it the Blind Smokers. We like that idea. I think that'd be a fun name for a restaurant. So, but it's a lot of fun. He's a wonderful man. I don't know when was the last time he was in South Carolina, but when he does come back to South Carolina and you get a chance to meet him and speak with him, please take that opportunity. Him and his wife, Melissa, is a wonderful family. You won't be disappointed if you get a chance to talk with him. And just in case, if you have an idea, if you have a thought, if you have something that you just want to, you're itching to tell him, well, he wants to hear it. So you can call him at 410-659. Boy, all of a sudden the number escaped me. I'm sorry. Yeah, you can call our national office, and you can ask for him directly, and also, but you can email him. That's how I usually talk with him more than anything. OfficeOfThePresident@nfb.org. You run that together, all one word. OfficeOfThePresident@nfb.org. There's no capitals. It's all lowercase. So just remember that OfficeOfThePresident@nfb.org, and you can email him directly. He's extremely present at responding to emails, so he will do it quickly, and he will get back with you. It may take him a couple of days, but he will get back to you, and I promise you he reads every email that he gets. So you know, if you want to send him a note, send him a thought, please do that. He would love to hear from you. I want to give you some updates about what we're doing on a national level that's going to excite you. I hope that all of you were a part of our virtual convention this past July. Pretty exciting convention. Over 8,000 individuals had registered for the convention. We believe, along with the streaming platforms that we had through Alexa and through NFB Newsline, that we feel confident that over 10,000 individuals participated in our 2020 National Convention. And that would be the largest gathering ever of blind individuals for one convention in one place. So pretty exciting stuff to think about. So the virtual convention, while we couldn't be together in Houston, Texas, the virtual convention was a smashing success, and something I think many of us are proud of and can be proud of. And we're going to definitely look to the future of incorporating aspects of virtual conventions. So know that that will happen. We will, of course, want to continue the tradition of having our conventions in person. Nothing can replace the feeling of being around over 3,000 blind individuals together in one place, hearing the tapping of the canes, hearing all the excitement, what's going on throughout the hotel. Nothing beats that or can replace that. But to incorporate aspects of a virtual convention, that's something that we're going to definitely do, and you can feel confident to see that in the future. Our next convention will be in 2021. It will be July 6th through the 11th, and it will be in the great city of New Orleans in Louisiana. So plan for that. Think about that. It still has a long way to come. We're still a year away, so you've got plenty of time to plan for that. But that should be an exciting convention, unlike any other, because our last time our personal record of in person was set in New Orleans, and I think we can shatter that and have more people than ever in New Orleans in 2021. Barring nothing changes in our world and we get back to normal. Some other key dates that I want you to be prepared and think about. Election Day is coming up November 3rd. If you weren't aware of that, you obviously haven't turned on a television, turned on a radio, or read a newspaper, because it's all over the news and everything is about Election Day right now. Why I want to bring up Election Day, it's extremely important that we as blind individuals exercise our right to vote independently and privately. So this is important. I was on the board, the resolutions meeting yesterday, and learned about that South Carolina has accessible voting machines at polling locations, and that it's a requirement for each polling location to have one accessible voting machine. So that's something to take advantage of and plan for. Usually, I know that Utah has the same type of law. We have accessible voting machines at every single polling location as well. And usually your county clerk, you can work with and vote early, once early voting opens, and you can go to the county clerk's office and you can use the accessible voting machine ahead of the election in Utah. So that might be something that South Carolinians can take advantage of too. You'll have to check with your election rules. I'm not aware of all those, but it's something you definitely want to plan for. The right to vote is something the National Federation of the Blind has worked on for many years. The Help America Vote Act was something we helped have a hand in writing, and it's an extremely important law, and it's extremely important for individuals who are blind to be able to vote independently and privately. So take advantage of that, and please remember to vote on November 3rd. The presidential release is an extremely important part of our program. This is how President Riccobono communicates to the affiliates, gets information out. Many of you have noticed that we've been doing the live presidential releases. We took a break from it in August, but we're bringing back the live presidential release for the rest of this year. So every first of the month, at 8 p.m. Eastern, we will have a live presidential release using the Zoom platforms that we've been sending out. And you can use it on Alexa on using that device or NFB Newsline. But September 1st will be the next live presidential release. So plan to take advantage of that. Again, 8 p.m. Eastern. And you can participate in the live presidential release. They have a question an answer portion at the end of the presidential release. So take advantage of that. That's exciting. And plan for that every first of the month, September 1st, October 1st, and so on and so on. If many of you ask about the pocket braille calendars provided by the American Action Fund, those are available now. So you can contact our national offices in Baltimore, Maryland. You can contact them and reach out to them through the Independence Market and get those your pocket braille calendar. So it's not too early also to think about the scholarship applications that are coming out. So we just awarded 30 scholarships for our 2020 virtual convention. But we will have another scholarship that folks can apply for in the 2021 convention. And so it's not too early to start planning and thinking about that. The scholarship process, I believe, will open on November 1st. The scholarship application will be available on November 1st and will run through March 31st. This is a pretty outstanding award that is available to you if you are going to college in some type of way. We have given out, as I said before, 30 scholarships over the years. Our lowest scholarship, which we have numerous of them, is a $3,000 award, along with some other awards tacked on by Google and Ray Kurzweil and other things. So it's a pretty exciting opportunity and award if you are selected. It's a very competitive process. We had well over 600 applications last year, but to make it to that final 30 is pretty impressive and something to think about. And I think you have a scholarship winner in this 2020 class. Duffel Hoffman was one of the scholarship winners. So that's pretty exciting to have South Carolina represented that way. And I know South Carolina has won scholarships in the past as well. So thinking about that, I want you to think about membership. Membership is something that that the National Federation of the Blind is always paying attention to and thinking about on a regular basis all the time. We try to think about and plan and come up with ideas on how to find new members, but we also want to reach out to members who we haven't seen in a while. That's extremely important. And I remember hearing last night in the board meeting about the new at-large chapter and Ed Bible talking about reaching members that weren't able to come to a regular chapter meeting and how the at-large chapter has started to be a success for South Carolina. So there are lots of ways that we can reach out to members that we haven't seen in quite a while and then find new members. So be thinking of ways you can do that to build your chapters and your divisions and your groups and any type of way to get Federation members together and bring new people to the National Federation of the Blind. That's extremely important and something to think about. We are holding for new members basically a hosting night each month, and it's basically a way that you can participate and hear from President Rick Abono, Jeannie Massey, our chair of our membership committee, and you can ask questions about the National Federation of the Blind in a safe environment that you may not have ever asked or thought of, or maybe you've heard some rumors or some other things about the National Federation of the Blind that you'd like to ask questions about. And this is an opportunity for new members to do that in a safe place. They do ask that you send an email to membership@nfb.org to get a chance to participate in those. They are going to do one of those every single month. So there's more information that you can find at our website, or like I said before, just send an email to membership@nfb.org, and you can get more information about that. Diversity and inclusion is something that the National Federation of the Blind has really put an emphasis on. It is important that we are inclusive in our chapter meetings, our affiliate meetings, in our division meetings, group meetings. We're all blind people together, sharing a common goal, and that is letting the public and the world know that we can live the lives we want as blind individuals. We can change myths and stereotypes and misconceptions about blindness that have existed for years. And honestly, the chapter, the local chapter, it's our community. It's our place. So it doesn't matter what diversity, what background you come from, what race you are, what gender you are. That none of that matters. We're all blind people in our community, in our chapters and our divisions and our affiliate. And so it's extremely important that we always remember that. Not everyone understands that we are an inclusive and diverse organization. And some people might be a little scared to come out to a chapter because they don't know if we include everyone. So it's important that we emulate that and we make that known, so people can feel comfortable and people can participate all together, doing the many things that are important to blind people in the state of South Carolina and across the country. So please remember that. Please think about that on a regular basis and how you can improve diversity. Sean Calloway, one of our national board members, and I believe he was the national representative last year. He is the chair of our diversity and inclusion committee. And I know he would love to hear from you if you have ideas about how we can improve diversity. And so think about that on a regular basis and start looking towards how we can build that. Advocacy is a big part of our organization. And want to think about how we can advocate as blind individuals and what things we can help towards in our work as advocacy. One of the things that's been mentioned many times is our Parental Rights for the Blind bill. I noticed that South Carolina has passed a Parental Rights for the Blind bill, so you can feel proud of that. South Carolina is a place where blind parents can feel safe. They can have a child, and they know they are protected by the law, and that's because of the great work of this affiliate. So be proud of yourselves in working towards that. Want to talk about some other things that you can look at to advocate in your affiliate. First and foremost, college students. They need help advocating for accessibility. And many college students don't know how to do this. And I talked about this in our student division meeting. We have at our website a self-advocacy higher education toolkit. It's basically a white paper that you can download, and it shows a disability resource center, a counselor at a college, or an advisor of any kind. It shows those offices and those individuals and those officials how they and what tools are available to them to make sure that accessibility is being practiced on the campus. It's also an outline for a newly blind college student that may not be aware of what higher education accessibility tools are out there. for the college student. So that's an important thing to think about and to get access to if you are a college student or if you know of a college student who's struggling. This is something extremely important, our self-advocacy higher education toolkit. The National Federation of the Blind has a very active legal department headed by President Riccobono. It is headed by President Riccobono. It's also headed by our immediate past president, Dr. Mark Maurer. He oversees a lot of the legal activities that we're working on back in Baltimore and on a national level. And if you are have something or have a legal problem that you think needs to be brought to attention of the National Federation of the Blind, we want to hear from you. We can't sue or take to court every single entity out there. We don't have that kind of funding or that kind of capability. But when we do see something that we can make a difference on, then we will take action. We don't always sue first. That is not our policy. Our policy is to try to reach out, work with entities, corporations, organizations, and try to create a common ground before we ever go to seeking legal action. But we will seek legal action if we feel it's necessary. And if you have something that you want to bring to the attention of our national office, Valerie Yingling, I'm going to spell that name out, Valerie Yingling, her email address is vyingling@nfb.org. So vyingling@nfb.org. And you can email her directly with the legal issue that you might have. You might be interested to know some of the different things that we have been working on a regular basis. Recent filings that we've gone through and some of the agreements that we've been able to make happen. The most recent one, a settlement with the Amazon company. It was a blind Michigan representative, a woman blind in Michigan, who was blind and sought a job with Amazon. And she wanted to work with their customer service department in their warehouse. And Amazon basically told her that we don't know how to make your job accessible, or we don't know how you can do your job as a blind individual. So you can't come back to work till we figure it out. Well, that's unacceptable. That's not what a company should do. And the National Federation of the Blind will not stand for that type of thing. And so we decided to take Amazon to court because of their inaccessibility and their inability to offer employment opportunities for blind individuals, and Amazon quickly settled. Amazon has vowed that by 2022 they will have accessible jobs in all areas and all aspects of their company. And we know how large that company is growing all the time, especially because of the pandemic and many people having more things shipped to them than ever. It's important that blind individuals have an opportunity at the employment options that are out there through Amazon. And so by 2022, Amazon has said that their systems will all be accessible and blind individuals will have employment opportunities more than ever before. So, and that's thanks to the work of the National Federation of the Blind. The IRS has announced that it has gone into agreement of a settlement with the National Federation of the Blind. There were three individuals that brought a suit against the IRS for inaccessible tax documents. You could not download accessible tax documents, and you couldn't fill out your taxes accessibly. And so the National Federation of the Blind decided that they needed to take the IRS to court and the National Federation of the Blind has won a settlement with the IRS. And the IRS is working towards making every aspect of filing taxes accessible. And we'll also do this by the year 2022. So that's some great work. And if you are one that knows how to fill out your taxes and wants to fill out your taxes accessibly, you'll be able to do that. And thanks to the work with the National Federation of the Blind. We've also filed a lawsuit with the Social Security Administration over inaccessibility of e-signatures. Sometimes it's necessary for you to have an electronic signature on a document with Social Security in arranging to get SSDI or other type of benefits. And currently this is not accessible. And this is something the National Federation of the Blind takes seriously and is working on. So if that's something that has affected you, please reach out to Valerie Yingling. That is something that she wants to know about and will definitely make aware. And so definitely please do that. I want to talk about some of the legislative initiatives we are working on as an organization. And wanted to keep you informed of some of those. We have worked very diligently on the Access to Affordable Technology Act. This is an important bill in the House and the Senate. We have over 120 now co-sponsors in the House, 24 co-sponsors in the Senate. So this is an important piece of legislation because it would allow blind individuals to get a tax credit for expensive assistive technology that they need to purchase, whether that be an accessible screen reader software for your computer, or let's say a braille display, or let's say a video magnifier. Some of these video magnifiers can cost well over $4,000. Braille displays, some of these larger braille displays that can cost well over $7,000 or $8,000. A braille embosser, maybe you need access to braille graphics, raised braille graphics in your type of job, and a braille embosser that does graphics is extremely expensive. And so these types of technologies, not always an employer can purchase for you, and rehabilitation is sometimes not an option. And so you have to figure out a way to do this yourself. And an affordable tax credit would go a long way towards helping blind individuals maintain employment and get the technology they need. And this is something we've been working very hard towards. There are many other legislative things we've been working on. One most recently, SAMI's law. This is a law that just passed the House. Representative Chris Smith out of New Jersey brought this bill to us because it was a bill that affects Uber and Lyft and ride sharing services out there. There was a young lady in the state of New Jersey who was kidnapped by an Uber driver who was posing to be an Uber driver. She got in the wrong vehicle and was kidnapped and was murdered. And it's her parents decided to work on how can we make Uber and Lyft more accountable to make sure that individuals are getting in the vehicle, they're the right vehicle and the vehicle that they've ordered. And so this law basically makes that Uber and Lyft work on ways to make that more known and safer and accessible. That's why we became involved, because Uber and Lyft and the law was looking at bringing a barcode that you would scan on the vehicle before you would enter. And there was no talk, no writing in it about accessibility. And that would definitely affect many of us, because we ride Uber and Lyft and other ride shares on a regular basis. And if we didn't know where this barcode was, or there's no accessible way to get to the barcode, that would make it impossible for us to use the service. And so we became active in this law. We were even mentioned on the House floor when Representative Chris Smith presented this bill. So it's an extremely important piece of legislation, and we're proud of it. Many other legislative pieces we are working on a regular basis with regards to autonomous vehicles. I've been working hard as a member of the Disability Advisory Committee for the FCC, the Federal Communications Commission, on legislation and creating more audio description and out there in every market. If you have a question about audio description, feel free to email me. The easiest email for me is ebacon, E-B-A-C-O-N, at utah.gov. That's ebacon at utah.gov, and you can email me any question about audio description. If I don't know the answer to it, I'll reach out to the FCC directly and get you an answer. We're always trying to look for ways to improve audio description in multiple platforms, and that's something we want to hear from you out there in the different affiliates. We have many different programs in the National Federation of the Blind, and it's important to get to tell you some of those. I'm sure that there were many young children in South Carolina that just participated in our virtual Bell Academy. We normally have Bell programs in over 30 states and affiliates across the country. But this year we had to go virtual, and so we created a way on a national level where we had three different Bell programs this summer, and children and parents could participate virtually in our Bell Academy and get a chance to learn more about Braille literacy, whether they're a beginner or an intermediate or advanced. There was something for all of them, and it was an awesome box of products that was shipped out to every family across the country. It was interesting. People go, I bet you saved a lot of money with your Bell program this year because you didn't have to put it on in the way that you've always done. Well, actually, no, we actually spent more this year than we ever have on our Bell Academy because we had to ship these boxes of materials to every single family. We had 500 families, children that signed up for this program across the country. And it was fun to be a part of that. There was a Bell-abration we just had on Thursday night. If you had a chance to participate in that a little bit, it was a lot of fun. It was neat to hear the stories of the young children in our different programs in our Bell Academy. So we will do Bell next year, and so be planning on that and look for ways that South Carolina can continue the Bell program and improve it for many years to come. I know that there's an outstanding successful transition program in South Carolina that Jennifer is managing. We also have a mentoring program that we manage through our National Federation of the Blind. It's a mentoring excellence program. We have three states participating in it. And that's something we'd love to see South Carolina get a chance to participate more of. We have our outstanding training centers throughout the country. Many of you have heard about the Louisiana Center for the Blind, the Colorado Center for the Blind, and Blind Incorporated in Minnesota. These are outstanding residential training programs that blind individuals can go and get training from blind individuals about blindness and learn important independent skills in a great environment. Pam Allen texted me last night and said, you know, she hasn't seen a person from South Carolina, a new individual from South Carolina, come to the Louisiana Center for the Blind in quite some time. So we'd like to see more of that happen, where South Carolinians are going out and getting involved in our training program. So think about ways that if you know of someone that needs training or is looking to get training, how we can get them to either LCB or CCB or Blind Inc. Those are extremely important programs that we want people to participate in and get to be a part of. I'm coming to the end of my national report. As you can tell, there's a lot of information that and a lot of different programs that the National Federation of the Blind is participating in, whether that be the PAC plan, how you can get involved in our pre-authorized contribution program. Lots of ways to do that. That helps our movement, our White Cane Fund, and all kinds of the ways that we do things in our national office. And so you can be a part of the PAC plan and get involved in that. You can also listen to the Nations Blind podcast every month. Anil Lewis and Melissa Riccobono host that podcast. It's a lot of fun to listen to, and you can learn more about what we're doing on a national level across the country. And they usually have different things that are on those podcasts that you can listen to. The Braille Monitor is still our flagship a piece of literature that you definitely want to read on a regular basis. The next issue is coming out in September and is going to be all about the national convention. And so you can get a wrap up of our national virtual convention and hear some great stories from the virtual convention that happened. It's a wonderful piece of literature that comes out each month that you really should participate in. If you're not an NFB Newsline member, you're really missing out. Well over 350 newspapers, magazines, periodicals, tons of information that is free to blind individuals across the country. And so please get involved with NFB Newsline and get signed up for that if you're not. And if you haven't checked it out in a while, check it out. It's pretty amazing. You can get TV listings, Target and Walmart ads, and all kinds of different things. So lots of things that the National Federation of the Blind is doing, lots of ways for you to participate and get involved. Remember, the next live presidential release, September 1st. So be prepared to participate in that. Frank, I think that is my report, sir. Thank you very much.